It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast sidekick to the Access of Easy newsletter. You can sign up for the newsletter if you haven't already, accessofeasy.com. I have been told that there's been a facelift on the website. We talked about that a little bit last week, so I do want to check that out. You should if you haven't already. And of course, subscribe to this podcast on your podcast feed app and on YouTube, Access of Easy, to get all the latest in data breach and overreaching every week from me, Joey, and Len in the other panel. Buddy, what's going on? How are you?
All good, Joey. All good. You know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to be golfing.
Come on.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
There's snow on the ground here today. What are you talking about? How is this possible?
It's melted now. So, tomorrow, it's going to be high of 6, 7, 8, something like that. And good old Chidoke, they're offering winter golf, $25 walking rate. So, yeah.
Wow.
And you know what? It was a struggle to get a tee time. A lot of people want in. So,
I bet.
Conditions are decent. It's going to be mostly sunny. So, yeah, man. All smiles over here. I'm back at it. Beginning of December, still playing golf. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I will say the last couple of days, I've taken my puppy jogging in the morning because I've been sort of on a time crunch. So instead of our usual leisurely walk, I've been trying to tire him out. And I'm not usually the type to jog in the cold weather. My lungs hurt. I get that like copper kind of spit feeling. But the last few days have been pretty good. I think most of the running I've done has been in 2, 3, 4 degree weather, which has been good. So if tomorrow, if it's nice, I wasn't going to take him again, but maybe I will. It's, you know, running out of time, right? Christmas is around the corner. Anyway, number 327, shall we, Len? Let's start as we always do with last week's quote of the week. The issue today is the same as it has been throughout all history, whether man shall be allowed to govern himself or be ruled by a small elite. That was from Thomas Jefferson, a name you might know. Surprisingly, Len, no one got it. So we'll move to this week's quote. All governments suffer a recurring problem. Power attracts pathological personalities. If you know who that was by, without Googling, of course, you know the rules, everybody. Don't pervert the process. Put it in the comments, and your next renewal is on, Mark and team over at EasyDNS. So you can't beat that. I'm curious about that quote. Wonder who that was by. I'm surprised neither of us got the Thomas Jefferson one. I mean, I'm not like a student of history or anything, but I play enough video games. Like Civilization has a different quote for every tech you research in every single game. And yet I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Those are, I think, fake quotes. I don't think that there's...
No, they're real. No, they're real. They're real. They? I originally thought this too. They are real quotes. You can look those up.
Oh.
Yeah.
I corrected them. Yeah, Civilization 6 is a fantastic game. Check it out.
Stellar. Yep.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll just dive right in.
May as well.
Talk about the Iranian people, because we got the Iranian government, in fact. Hackers from over there. Well, these Iranian government hackers, they're targeting water treatment facilities in the United States. And the hackers are using the name Cyber Avengers, and you're using like the three for...
I hate it.
It's like, it's very elite. If
this
you
looks
ask
like
me.
This looks like something that would have been in my MSN Messenger name circa 1999, 2000. How do you feel about that? You feel about the same?
Super elite, these guys. And I give them, honestly, I'll give them 0 stars. This is very unoriginal.
Yeah, terrible. I'm not a fan of this one at all. We could have done a lot better with a lot less resources, I think.
Yeah. Well, Cyber Avengers, they're targeting these facilities, and they're using the targeting these ultrasonic brand programmable logic controllers, the PLCs. And those specific PLCs, they're used in water treatment facilities as well as other industries as well. And the hackers, they're gaining access to these PLCs by just simply exploiting weak passwords. And once they get access, they could change the settings on the PLCs and disrupt operations. And there's been a history with these Iranian government affiliate cyber actors targeting PLCs. In 2021, these goons targeted water treatment facilities in Israel. Why is it always water treatment facilities? I mean, don't they realize we could just go outside and take a leak? But, well, these actors were able to gain access to the PLCs and change settings over there. But when they did it at that time, that caused the facility to release sewage into water supplies. So that's pretty nasty stuff. really, I mean, considering what's going on here, it might be time to consider exposing less devices like these PLCs to the internet, especially those that are dealing with critical services like water treatment plants. And another good thing people should realize is, man, use a good password for these critical features, these critical things over there, because by not doing so, you're subjecting it to a potential hack and attack. And here we go. So two bad things here. Number one, use better passwords. And number two, maybe it's high time we learn to disconnect some of these devices, if at all possible, from the internet. It may cause a little bit of grief in terms of operational procedures, but still, in the end, it might be a net gain. But that's all I got to say about this one.
I don't have a lot to say either, except that there has been warnings, especially in the United States over the last, you know, 5 years, 6 years, about how the infrastructure, the dangers that infrastructure presents don't only manifest in old equipment, old technology, old, you know, bridges, rails, water treatment facilities, things of this nature. It's not just about the physical risks. It's also that these systems are not well protected as far as digital risks. And we're seeing this more and more. You know, you and I talk every week about how the people who should be the strongest kind of proponents of digital security, governments, are oftentimes the target of these hacks. And Len, you know, I'm not an expert in hacking or compromising security systems, but can you really consider this hacking? Is this guy really hacking, or this group really hacking, if they just are grabbing crappy passwords? You know, is that really, it's like you're making it so easy for these people to compromise a system that's so critical, so vital to everyday life. I'm not sure why this is even going on, honestly. It's not like this is a surprise to people that many of these systems have become very juicy, vectors for attack. And yet they're, you know, using their last name and one and an exclamation mark or whatever. Like, what is the standard password? It's always a one exclamation mark on the end.
It's just a password, isn't it?
I don't know. I've seen a bunch of them over the years, but I know, like, you know, in different professional settings, I'm always handed, like, my day one password always has a one and an exclamation mark. Like we can't be serious here. Surely we can do better than this and make it at least difficult for the quote unquote hackers to compromise these systems. They're so vital. But here we are again. And you know what, Len? If they don't make it harder, then it just means we get to come back next week and talk about it some more, right? It's good for us either way.
Yeah, it's more talking points for us. And yeah, so people, keep it up. Make sure you don't put...
We need the name of your firstborn, your address, and that's it. We'll get you there, no problem.
Let's move on. And there's a lawsuit that's been launched against the U.S. State Department. And this is by The Federalist and other conservative outlets. And these outlets, they allege that the State Department violated their First Amendment rights by funding and promoting organizations that blacklist these very conservative media. And these organizations that is part of this lawsuit include NewsGuard, Global Disinformation Index, and a bunch of others too. And the lawsuit claims that these actions are unconstitutional and they amount to censorship. And the State Department, as of yet, has not commented on this lawsuit. And that's really not something surprising. They're going to let this go through the court system before they say anything. The Federalist is what I've listed earlier, is a conservative website that's founded back in 2013. And this website has been critical of the State Department in the past. And they've been accusing it of being biased against conservatives. And NewsGuard, which is also part of this lawsuit, this is a website that rates the trustworthiness of news websites. The website has been criticized by conservatives for its ratings, and they're just saying it's biased against conservative media. The Global Disinformation Index, we talked about them, I think, in the past. This nonprofit organization, they track and rate disinformation websites. They've been criticized in the past, right? So, like, it is what it is. So anyways, the lawsuit is the latest in a series of legal challenges to the State Department. And there's going to probably be a few more coming down the list. We've seen a lot what's happened in the past few years. The Trump administration, notably in 2020, they filed a lawsuit. And they were accusing everything of being biased against him and other media outlets as well. And unfortunately, that lawsuit launched by Trump was dismissed by a judge in 2021. So, I mean, looking at this, and you're seeing a lot more litigation come out just because we see what's, you know, the type of slant that the State Department has. And I can understand, you know, it's partisan politics, but come on, you know, you got to have at least a semblance of transparency, neutrality, but they're not doing that, which is unfortunate. But again, they're probably going to get, you know, a sweeping change if there's going to be a change in the White House and change in the administration. And if there's a change over there, well, I suspect the State Department is going to get flushed down the toilet. Hopefully the water treatment plant is working at that time. If not, they're going to get then just added to the sewage. But yeah, nothing else I got to say here.
Two things I want to add. Last bit of the story here. Publicis Group, NewsGuard's largest investor and the biggest conglomerate of marketing agencies in the world, which has integrated NewsGuard's technology into its fleet of subsidiaries that place online advertising. Talked about online advertising last week. You may remember with the Elon thing. The question of conflicts arises because Publicis, I'm probably messing that pronunciation up, but Publicis represents a range of corporate and government clients, including Pfizer, whose COVID vaccine has been questioned by some news outlets that have received low scores. What a surprise. Mm-hmm. Other investors include Bruce Melman, a DC lobbyist with a lengthy list of clients, including United Airlines and ByteDance. ByteDance, sound familiar? The parent company of much criticized Chinese-owned social media platform TikTok. The tweet quoted at the end of the story is important. I'll tell you why. It looks like NewsGuard is having its cronies send emails out to potential, you know, places that are going to be reviewed. Tell me what you think about this. Dear Daphne, Daphne works for Dave Rubin, Rubin Report podcast. I'm Zach Fishman. I'm a reporter with NewsGuard, a service that reviews news and information websites and television shows for credibility and transparency. These reviews, which include a written summary and a checklist of criteria, are intended to help readers have more context for the news they consume. I hope you're sitting down. We are in the process of expanding our purview to podcasts. I am currently writing a review for The Rubin Report. Is someone available to answer some questions I have about the content aired on the show? As a heads up, we incorporate quotes from our correspondences into our published reviews, so this conversation should be considered on the record. We are in the process of expanding our purview to podcasts. You don't have a purview. No one should be listening to anything these people say. They're full of shit. Every single one of them. They're liars. They're cheaters. They're just trying to push a narrative steady all day, every day, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 366 on leap years.
Next year's a leap year.
These people don't deserve any credit for any positive outcomes in news media. None. The opposite is in fact true. It's little outfits like ours at CBP, like Bomb Thrower, like any of these websites, Access of Easy, you name it, that are actually sharing news that's researched, impartial, and maybe most importantly, free of corporate sponsorship and the sludge that comes with it, that's forced to come out of the mouths of quote-unquote media correspondents in the name of dollars and cents. Get lost with this. Everyone should be upset about this story. It's completely insane.
Yeah, and another insane story is a data breach that's taken place at 23andMe. And
that's what kind of segue? Another insane. Sometimes you absolutely crush the segue. Other times you're like, another insane story. Data breach over.
This is something we talked about it offline.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was interesting. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, this is going to appear on the docket.
Only a matter
here we
time.
Are. But the 23andMe company, I mean, you know the company. That's the one that you pay to give them your DNA, and they try to sell you a false bill of goods that your lineage is linked to a Roman emperor or something along those lines.
Is that what it is? That's the business model?
That's actually what it is. Well, the company, they've been hacked. And the personal information of millions of users has been stolen. And it's a good thing that the hackers didn't leave behind any DNA, because 23andMe probably had a 1 in 500 million chance of figuring out who it is that was actually the hacker here. The hackers, they were able to get in and access the ancestry reports, the names, and even the DNA information. And the breach was caused by customers using shitty passwords. And 23andMe has said that they waited some time to disclose this information, because in fact the breach took place a few years back in June of 2018. So that just now we're learning about it, but the company didn't disclose the full extent of the breach until just this month. And the company says they were waiting to disclose the breach until it had completed its investigation. So 5 years and 5-6 months investigation.
You think they would have been able to do it faster if they weren't working from home?
You know what? That could have been part of why it took so long. It was a close down and shut down the economy. The hackers, unfortunately, from the information they took, they could use this stolen information to commit identity theft or fraud against the individuals that they had the information stolen from. And they could also use this information to discriminate against people as well, if they're very creative in how they apply this. But while 23andMe, to their credit, they're offering free credit monitoring to the 6.9 million affected users. And the company is also urging people to change their passwords as well. It's a lot of users that were impacted, and they're giving the token free credit monitoring services. It's par for the course for what happens in these things. It's basically too bad, so sad. You got screwed. Oh, and here's a $10 a month service that could alleviate any problems you may have. So yeah, if you are a 23andMe user, number one, I would suggest not using them moving forward. Like, don't give up your DNA willingly. But number two, man, you may want to look to see if you are one of these impacted users, because if you are, that was a long time ago, and there could be a lot of damage done in those 5.5 years. So, man, check this out. So 6.5 years. No, 5.5 years. Yeah.
I can't believe there's so many people willing to give their DNA to strangers like this. I haven't been that willing to do that with my DNA since I was in university. But two things away from this, I would say. One is, never use a service like this. It just doesn't make sense. There's tons of data there that's very valuable and getting more valuable by the minute. That's number one. Number two, Len, again, with the passwords thing, you know, is there like a lack of understanding among users of services like this, where they just like sign up because they got it as a Christmas gift, or sign up because they got a deal off a commercial or something, and they don't take seriously the kind of password creation process. And then before you know it, you have this account that's been compromised. I would be curious about how many other accounts associated with like emails or addresses or names are getting compromised on the back of this set of compromises. It's interesting to me. Maybe I'll add a third thing here. We talked about this before. There should be a law in place about disclosures and the gap between the incident and the disclosure for the users of the platform. Because you got to figure, Len, that 23andMe has seen insane amounts of customer growth in those 5 years. And they wouldn't have seen that kind of growth if there was a disclosure in 2018 or 19, whenever this happened, I forget now. But to me, that borders on fraud. Like, you took money from investors, probably a lot of them retail, and money from customers, almost all of them certainly retail, without giving them the full picture of what the company was capable of or not capable of. In this case, not capable of protecting your data. This stinks. And once again, it's sort of the little guy that comes out taking it on the chin, unfortunately. And it's a common theme on this show, but we have to say it. It's not fair, and there should be, I hate to lean on daddy government, but there should be laws about disclosure and the gaps between incidents and disclosing to the people who use the service.
The best way to, I think, really punish them is to vote with your pocketbook. And if you don't give them any of your services and your money, that's the one that really impacts them the most. So
23andMe down 10% today. I'm looking at the stock price here.
It's publicly traded.
Yeah, that's why it's important. Of course, that's what I mean. They take investment from retail. Yeah, it's on the
Nasdaq. I thought it was VC cap. I mean, no, I'm just shocked that
it is on the Nasdaq. It was $2 June 8th this year. The stock is now worth 86 cents US. So it hasn't had a good year at all. Well, probably a lot of its peers in the tech sector have pumped. I mean, this is what I mean, right? If you're an investor, you're like, oh, wow, I just used 23andMe. I thought it was really easy. I'm going to buy some of the stock. What you didn't know is that they gave away a bunch of data. I didn't tell anybody for 5 years. That's not fair, in my opinion. I hate to see stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. Not financial advice, but.
No, definitely not. I mean, let's be honest. If people are struggling just to pay their bills, this is something that's just a fringe benefit, right?
You don't think those people have money for a covered options strategy on 23andMe?
No, I think there's. Short it. That's what I would suggest. But NFA. Anyways, the Ziv Medical Center in Israel, they have been hit with a cyber attack. And this is the third in just 4 short months. And these hackers that were responsible for this are linked to Iran. Yeah, the Iranians are back at it yet again.
Yeah,
they have been very busy. And they stole medical records, in this case, of about 700,000 patients. And it's including some Israeli soldiers. And the timing of this is interesting because the tensions between Israel and Iran, well, they're continuing to rise. And this attack was just reported just past week on Sunday, and the hackers released a sample of this stolen data online to prove that they got it. And the information they released includes names, addresses, phone numbers, medical history, pretty damning stuff. And they threatened to release the full data set if Israel does not meet their full demands. And the Israeli government is currently doing an investigation on this attack, and they vow to bring the hackers to justice. And the government is also calling on the international community to condemn the attack and take action against Iran. So this is just a series of a number of different cyber attacks that has hit Israel in the past little while, because in recent months, hackers have been targeting Israeli government websites, bank, businesses, and now this hospital for a few times in the past few months. And it's really it's a broader campaign from the Iranian government and Iranian people to destabilize Israel. Mm-hmm. And they've been Iran has been denying any involvement whatsoever with this attack. But it's just another thing that's going to be probably going to be coming up more frequently, especially as this whole Palestine-Israel conflict continues to escalate. And there seems to be no end in sight. And if that continues the way I am painting it out to be, they're going to be on the receiving end of significant amount of cyber attacks moving forward. All that's really going to do is just anger people in the end, right? Like it's not going to destabilize anything. It's just going to create more hostilities between people. Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't see a way around it. I don't see what the end result is, but I suspect there's going to be more bloodshed, both on the like physical war, but also on the cyber war front as well.
I don't have much to add to this, except that I want to reiterate the things you said. You know, you're right. There's a lot going on, especially in that region of the world. And Iran, I mean, you said it, depending on who you believe, whether you believe them or, you know, maybe some sources adjacent to them, or you believe Western sources or Israeli sources or whatever, there's some level of involvement there. It's unclear exactly how much. I think the lesson here, like most of the time, like other times, I should say, is that data is now part of the war landscape in a way that it wasn't 50 years ago, 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, honestly. But as things have moved to basically completely online, especially through COVID, you know, for better or worse, these databases and, you know, especially in things like healthcare, water, we talked about earlier, you know, digital infrastructure of all types is really valuable to everyday life for a country. You know, if you want to destabilize, you know, Len, if you had to guess which one would be more destabilizing, you know, a global or a countrywide, you know, grain shortage or countrywide internet outage, which one would you say was more destabilizing? You know,
the internet would probably be more destabilizing.
It would be, yeah, it'd be like immediately tangible and felt by everyone, right? That's the kind of thing that freaks people out. And when you look at stuff like this, it's not quite to that level, but you can clearly see the leaning now is away from these sort of physical attack vectors, like, you know, agriculture or whatnot, and more towards stuff like this. You're going to see this more and more. People got to be careful. That includes people who are giving their data, you know, sometimes involuntarily, unfortunately, but to places like hospitals and other government institutions. It's tough, very tough.
Some people even pay to give up their information, like 23andMe. It's like, yeah, here's my DNA and here's $100 with it. And said, anyways, threads.
And then you put it in the mail. Like you literally put it in the mail.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Can you imagine? It's crazy, is it? Like I would never do that. I can't believe people do that. But anyway, I don't want to drag that on. It's insane to me.
Yeah, it is. I mean, whatever. Threads. We talk about this every so often, the sparsely used social media platform. Well, they're having a difficult time to gain traction. And they're saying some 80% of users that sign up simply forget about the app. This may be a good thing, as the 20% that are remaining are subjected to filtered results.
Can we talk about this? Like, can you imagine Zuck on the next investors call? Like, yeah, we had another 100 million signups for Threads. Unfortunately, there's just been mass amnesia here. And we, you know, 80% of those people have forgotten they have the app. We have to action this somehow. Like, what are you talking about?
The funny thing is some news organizations have moved over. They've left Twitter and they're using now Threads as their primary source of relaying information.
Good luck.
Might as well use Truth Social. It's the same old crap.
Just yell into the sewer and hope somebody hears you. More traction like that.
So yeah, there's unfortunately what Threads is doing. They're filtering search results, so the remaining 20% are not getting the best service that they could probably get. Because, well, there's a fear that the search results, well, it is not a fear. It's truth that it's sorted chronologically. That is right. If it was sorted chronologically, it would create substantial safety loopholes. So it's not sorted chronologically. It's basically, it's a platform that is censoring stuff and it's spoon feeding us the crap that we think we want to eat. So you're not getting it in a chronological order. You're getting it algorithmically. That's it. And the search that they offer us gives them, we're talking about Threads, the opportunity to push whatever message they want. And this, they could do this from whatever users they want to promote to whatever message they want to promote.
Yep.
And the only good thing about all this is that nobody's using the platform, right? Like there's so few people there that are subjected to Meta's latest mind control experiment. That's probably not going to impact a whole lot of people. So we'll take the good with the bad here. It's too bad they're doing it, but the good thing is there's very few people that are probably impacted from it. So that's the only good thing.
Do you see I mean, you don't have it in front of you, I would guess, but I'm looking at the article here. I honestly had a laugh about this over dinner too, because I was telling my dad and my wife and my brother, we were up for dinner. And I'm like, we got to do the show that we do, Access of Easy. And I was like, you know, seeing usually four or five stories. And so I pulled this one up just by chance, because it's the first one on the, it's first one in the list, right? And so I'm looking at this and I'm like, look, this is about that thing, Threads. And I get to this picture at the bottom of the thread where they're talking about the question of chronological search results. And this account called Hati Ciavici, Hatticevci, responds to a guy named Moseri, who must be a Threads, you know, admin of some kind. Any plans to allow ordering search results chronologically?
The answer is the best.
As in showing most recent threads first. This guy replies, no, that would create a substantial safety loophole.
That's quote, that the verbatim. You're not sugarcoating this, you're reading it directly.
What is this guy talking about, Len? A safety loophole. What, why do we need to be safe? What is safe? You're gonna really sacrifice your product in the name of safety when clearly no one wants it. I go on Twitter every hour of the day. If I'm bored, or like, honestly, at this point, it's like, damn, you're a nervous tick. If I have a second of free time or like a free hand, I go for Twitter on my phone. I leave messages unread. People get mad at me because I have like 50 unread Instagram DMs. I don't answer my wife's messages. I don't look at group chat. I don't look at anything. I go on Twitter because that's where the information is. That's where I get fed the stuff that I want to see, or the stuff that Twitter thinks I want to see unfiltered. Why would anyone use this app? Who is spending their time here? I have no idea. Is it Teeny Boppers? Is it Ellen DeGeneres and her cronies? I have no idea. But it sure ain't me. It sure ain't you. I just don't see the point of an app like this for an adult. I'm not sure what you think about that. I would guess that we agree on that.
Well, that same applies to Truth Social as well. It's these platforms that have no upward mobility. Like they're just stuck in this rut, and they're not going to be able to gain more users. So going on it, you're just wasting your time. Now, companies and news companies that migrated over there other accounts that migrated over there from Twitter because they're upset with Elon Musk and how he's doing things. Good luck, man. You're going to live in that very, very small pond over there. And if you're a big fish or even a small fish, you're still in a small pond. You're going to get no people to listen to you. It's going to be, it's not censored, but it's, they're going to be filtering the search results because they don't want you to be subjected to any dangers, because if it's chronological order, it's just all hell will break loose. The system will fry your brain and you're done. I don't understand. Good luck. Threads, an absolute joke. We rag on it every time the story appears, a thread story appears. And you know what? I'm going to keep ragging on that moving forward. It's time to just pull the plug on that thing. Like,
it's funny. Like, I don't want to drag this out because we've gone doing half an hour here, but I signed up for Twitter Premium today, the Premium Plus Twitter on my personal account. It's $20 a month, and it gives you unlimited access to the AI thing, Grok, no ads anywhere on the platform, and a bunch of other good stuff, especially for you and me who are content guys, right? Like the show has a paid Twitter account. Now I have one. I don't think you do, but like there's so many things there that help you as a user that allow you, it allows you to become a power user in a way, right? In a way that you couldn't do in the unpaid version. Then you look at the threads, you know, Instagram, Facebook paid version, and all they want is to verify your identity and give you a check mark for money. Like they're so far behind the curve here. They're trying stuff that Twitter, this is the worst part, right? They're trying stuff that Twitter already tried and crashed and burned on. The safety thing, the verification check mark, the paid service with no additional features. They're trying all of it, even though they know already that it doesn't work. This is why when people say to me, Zuck is a master operator, I just laugh. What good idea has this guy had since he stole Facebook from the twins? What good ideas he had? He stole Facebook. He bought WhatsApp. He bought Snapchat or stole Snapchat's best features. Bought Instagram. He's copying Twitter poorly, like as poorly as you could possibly copy a product. He's trying it with Threads. What has this guy done right? Explain it to me. There's nothing. And so I realize it's not part of the story, but I have to get that out because I see this story and the thread stuff. And I just think, who believes what this guy is selling you? He doesn't understand product and he's doing stuff it's not even like it was 10 years ago this was tried. It was like 3 years ago and 2 years ago this was tried with Twitter and didn't work. Why would it work with you now? It blows me away.
The stock price of Meta went nuts this past year.
I know.
I'm absolutely blown away at that. I don't know what's driving it. I mean, there's got to be something legitimate that somebody could say, yeah, this is the reason why. But I mean, I don't live in that world. I don't look at it too much, but I do know that their stock price went absolutely bonkers. What the hell's going on? I don't know.
No idea. That's it anyway. That was number 327. Come back next week. Hear us again. Talk about the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach. And of course, accessofeasy.com is your home for all things tech, security, and other fun nonsense we discuss here on the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, newsletter, podcast, YouTube channel, and that's it. Till next week, same time.
Yeah, buy Bitcoin.